Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
John Paxson joins us now. How's it going, John? Thank you for the time.
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Pax, great to have you on board. It sounded very much today like you believe very strongly in Otto Porter, that he fits in for the long haul. This is not a stopgap move. I never got that impression listening to you. What do you think his ceiling is?
Well, you know, Otto's always been a really high-level shooter. He's been a complimentary piece to guys like John Wall and Bradley Beal, and he's played that role well. We just think, you know, the decision for us came down to, you know, we've been looking for wings, athletic wings, that because of the way the game's being played and versatility where guys can slide from the three to the four and guard multiple positions, Otto made sense in that regard. And, you know, the reality is that as difficult as it was to give up Bobby Portis, who we really, you know, we drafted him, we love the kid and love his passion and his energy. When you look at it from a financial standpoint, we're looking at, we're going to try to use resources maybe this summer to re-sign him. You know, we had offered Bobby an extension in the fall, and you know, which was, he turned it down, which was his absolute right as a player. And we just we felt the opportunity to, you know, to get a wing that we think fits us was something we should go for now. And it's, you know, I know it's for the next few years, it's a lot of money, but it is a two year contract beyond this year. Again, that's not something that, you know, hamstrings you for a long period of time, but we like him. We think he fits, and we think a change of scenery for him right now will be something that he'll embrace.
And Otto Porter clearly makes you better, but at this point in the season, draft positioning would be obviously advantageous. What's the plan for the remaining 28 games?
Well, I mean, we have to play our guys and continue to see what we have. You know, we've got 28 games, I believe, left. You know, we're disappointed with only 12 wins, but, you know, when you look at the standings, there's four teams that are in this 10 to 12 win bracket, and then I believe 18's the next. You know, we're going to have to play extremely well to, you know, to get out of that. And the other consideration, too, is, you know, there's never been any certainty in the draft lottery. We all know that, you know, but prior to this year, the odds were much different, and they've leveled those out a little bit for obvious reasons. So, you know, there's no certainty or guarantee there. But I think looking at it from our angle, too, depending, no matter where we are in this draft, we know we're going to have a high pick. You know, last year's we were at 7 both years. We got two players that obviously are foundational pieces for us. And we really believe that we'll be able to find another piece like that. But we also are, you know, we're realistic. The Otto Porter deal, you know, eats significantly into our cap space this summer. But from our standpoint, we weren't going to be players in terms of the big name guys. We know we're not there yet. So we looked at the, in terms of the free agent market, the wings that are out there, all the things added up that this type of deal made sense for us right now. And I do think in the long term, it helps us become a better basketball team.
John Paxson with us. I was a little surprised how frank you were in the press conference, and then again right there saying, you know, we're not there now. You did have the ability to offer a max slot. This is probably the best summer in terms of free agents that'll be moving since 2010. Why aren't you there right now in terms of the ability to attract a marquee maximum free agent?
Well, because our young players aren't to the point where I think the great player wants to come and play. Our goal, and I've said this many times, our goal is to develop. We believe Markkanen has a high ceiling. We believe Wendell Carter has a high ceiling. We believe a draft pick that we get in this draft is going to be a player with a high ceiling. We're in a different position than some of these other teams. And, you know, I know that's a, you know, anybody can be critical of us, but I'll give you an example. And I know that no one likes to hear me or anyone else point back in time, but when we did have money and we had a very good basketball team, with Derek and those guys. We were in the game for LeBron and those guys. Now, obviously, we didn't win out, but we were in the game. But we have to be realistic. And we can't make decisions and with the hope that something like that will happen. We have to be realistic in where we're at in this development. And, you know, again, we're not making excuses. This is very hard for our fan base. We understand it's very hard for us to be here, but we have to remain patient. We can't make decisions that are going to, you know, be long-term mistakes for us at this point in time. We have to see how good Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter can be. And unfortunately for us, and it's been kind of the theme for several years, you know, we just haven't been able to get all our guys on the floor. You know, Wendell going down was we would have loved to seen how he progressed over the second half of the season, but he's going to be out for the rest of the year. So those things are difficult, but we have to be realistic, and that's just the honest God truth.
John, are you comfortable with the teams and the organization's reputation among star players in this league?
Well, I don't. You know, until you get an opportunity to get in front of people, then how do you know how they feel about you? And if you have, you know, if there's specific examples about there of a player, you know, someone bashing our organization, that's tell me about it. But I do believe that when you get an opportunity to sit down with people and present yourself and show what you're about and who you are, to be very candid, there is, you know, there's a lot of things that are created just through perception, and we get that. I mean, you can't fight that in this day and age anymore. We can be criticized. Any organization can be criticized for the most minuscule thing, and it can be made into something, you know, that takes on a life of its own, and all of a sudden you're looked at it in a certain way. No, I'm not worried about that. I think when it comes to agents who have the players, when the agents, for the most part, respect us. They respect our organization because that's who we deal with primarily when we're talking to, you know, about contracts, we're talking about free agency, all those type of things. And when you have a good relationship with the agents and then you can get a player into your building, then that thing can, you know, then good things can happen. But my point in this whole thing about being realistic is we see what's going on in the league right now. The great players want to play with other great players. They want to create the, you know, the super teams and get, you know, get in a position where you're able to win championships. We have to develop. We have to, you know, through the draft, hopefully, because that's the one way you have true control over. We have to see if some of our guys have that potential. And then at some point in time, you know, maybe you can attract a guy that wants to play with them. And then all of a sudden you're going. So,
right.
You know, and that's just the reality right now.
So, John, are you saying then that the perception that exists that veteran players, star players, don't want to come to your team because of the organization, borrowing your predecessor's verbiage, is fiction?
Well, I don't hear any specifics about our organization from anyone.
Anthony Davis would be one.
Well, no, he's not. Look, if he has he said bad things about our organization, or he just doesn't want to play in our hometown. If you don't, you know, we've done our work. You know, we've inquired. Obviously, you always do. But you know, I mean,
I was going to say, well, there have been specifics that people in league circles have said have painted you guys in a bad light. Whether it's
what are they? Tell me.
The press release after Tibbs was let go, seemingly kind of walking over the job that he did here. The issue with
specific players have commented on that. Is that what you're telling me? I'm just trying to grasp because there's a lot of generalities here that you're telling me, and I'm just asking a question. Telling me that players and have this perception. And but you're not giving me, you're not telling me any names. You're not giving me any specifics. So
after the Kings played here this year, and after the Jim Boylan issue with the near mutiny and the players contacting the union, they beat you guys at the United Center, and they're coming
and
off the court.
That's a falsehood right there. They never contacted the union. They never did. See, we saw Adam Silver shortly after that. Adam told us no one from the union ever called the league. See, that's where it makes my point from a little while ago. Little things take on a life of their own, and they become facts even when they're not. So you're using as an example something that didn't even happen. And so if that's hurting our perception, well, so be it, because we can't do anything about it.
You referenced at your news conference today, candidly, Jim Boylan's rough start. And you said when you're in there with him every day, you see things that are going well. Share with us what those things are that make you feel positive about your head coach.
Well, when I watch practice every day, I see organization, I see detail, I see guys being held to a standard, especially for a young group of players that they need to be held to. Now, right now, it's not really carrying over into games, although offensively over the last two or three weeks, we've become a better basketball team. So that's just offensively. It's not translating into wins, but I'm seeing some growth there. We got a long way to go. We know that. No one has ever, myself, anyone in the organization, we haven't ever stood up here and said this was going to be easy or quick. We said we felt we got a bit of a jump start on it when we made the trade because we got some very good young players to get us going and hopefully in the right direction. But Jim's doing a good job, and he's doing, in this day and age, the players have a lot of control and power. They really do, and they should, because the players are the product, and more so than ever. And I played with the greatest player who was the best product in the league. But even Michael understood what it was like to be coached and how important that was to a team. So we have a young team. We feel we need a coach who can hold players to a standard. And the one thing that people don't see, the thing at the beginning when we gave Jim the job, that was tough, obviously. I mean, I think Jim will be the first to tell you that he didn't handle the Boston game the right way. But even the stuff about the meeting and you call it near mutiny. Again, those are words that don't accurately describe what I saw, and I was involved. What I saw was some kind of not great communication, guys a little bit not understanding what was going on. But again, there was no one contacting the league from the union, none of those type of things going on. What I saw was guys starting to understand that things were going to be different. And had we been able to keep it quiet, which you can never do in this day and age, it probably wouldn't have been that big a deal. But for us, it was a small couple of day thing. We got past it, but, of course, everyone else wants to hold on to it. This all speaks to what I'm saying in terms of Jim. Jim, we feel, has the right attributes. He is a very, very passionate person. He cares very much about the players. He wants them to succeed. And when you watch him in practice every day, which you guys, fans, don't have or they're not privy to, if you saw what we see every day, he wants our guys to be great players. And he puts the time, the effort, and the passion into that every day. And we need that.
John, you talk about the attributes that Jim Boylan has. It's gone from, hard-nosed defensive guys to offensive player coaches, right? Scott Skiles to Vinny Del Negro to Tibbs to Fred and now to Jim Boylan. It feels like it just goes back and forth each time there's a coaching move. What is your type of coach?
Well, the thing that I want more than anything in a coach, two things. I want them to be stand-up guys who hold players to a standard and hold them accountable. In a way that is, you have to have confrontation, but you can't be combative with that. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, I truly believe in the teaching component of our game, the fundamental teaching components of our game. And for me, a coach has to be into that every day. It's a grind. It's paying attention to the little things, which players, I can tell you from my standpoint, Dan, you played football. I'm sure you had coaches that there were days when you were doing whatever techniques that you had to do over and over again, but they made you, at the end of the day, you knew they made you better. But I believe in coaches who do get into that grind every day, because I think ultimately that makes you better. And Jim's one of those guys. So, in terms of the coaches, I'm sure it looks that way. And, we again, it's all perception. You guys probably don't know this, but in our division alone over the last 8 years, only, if you're talking Milwaukee, Cleveland, Detroit, ourselves, and the Pacers, over the last 8 years, only the Pacers have had fewer coaching changes than we have. It happens in our league. There's everything's fluid, but
you know, coaching changes are natural. And my job, one of my big jobs primarily, is to keep a pulse on the team and know what the vibe is. And when we made that change, I'm never going to go out and say things that are going to hurt or damage anyone. But I know in my soul what was going on in our building when we made the change at the end of November, early December, that it was necessary. And I believe that to this day. I know what we did was the right thing. So, and I'm the type of guy, I try very hard not to look back, try to look forward. And when we gave Jim the job, he is, after what we all admit was a rough start, I think he's found his footing. And I think our guys are starting to play a certain way, especially, you know, in terms of offensive basketball. We're playing a little bit better now. And again, we have a long way to go. I realize that.
To combine the two topics that we've talked about so far in the conversation with Bulls president John Paxson, what creative or outside-the-box things are you doing to hopefully attract elite talent in the future? I have examples of other teams if you would like.
Okay, give them to me.
So the Knicks positioning themselves in theory for a run at Kevin Durant, hire Royal Ivy, his friend from Texas. The Lakers with Michael Beasley. Steve Ballmer going to a game to watch Kawhi Leonard when the Clippers are not playing the Raptors. They're sending their basketball president to watch and scout a bunch of Raptors games because they're going to make a run clearly at that free agent. I know you can't talk with tampering on specifics, but in terms of creative, outside-the-box things in a player-star-dominated league, what are the Bulls doing to attract that type of talent?
Well, that's a tough thing to answer right now because we're not singling out a certain individual. As I mentioned before, we're being realistic in terms of, you know, what we can do. And I'll be honest with you, when teams do things like that, if you don't consider that tampering, then, you know, I don't know what is. And, you know, so
that's not something that you would do in 2021.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we feel we're not in the place right now where, no, you know, you can look at it any way you want, but we're going to stay patient with our process. Our main goal right now, the key to everything we're doing, is through the draft and the development of our key guys. And the guys we drafted the last 2 years, we think have really high ceilings. We are poised to draft very high again this year, and our goal will be to add a third guy like that to what we already have. We have Otto now. We have Zach. We think we can put together a very talented team, a very talented package. And then at that point, the idea of, you know, being smart and going out and finding guys that want to play with our group, that's what we'll do. So, but we just keep grinding, and, you know, we're not sitting here. You know, on our hands, not trying to find ways to get better. That's all obviously our ultimate goal.
Pax, I want to know how you would respond to people who make the following statement, and they make it every day. There's no pressure on these guys. The franchise is valued at number 4 in the league. The building is full, and while it might sound from time to time like the natives are growing restless, they leave the pitchforks and torches in the parking lot and come in wearing Bulls garb, swiping their credit cards. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I mean, what am I going to say? I mean, it always ends up like with these things. I'm well aware that there's a March 6th protest of me and Gar, those type of things, you know, and I know that, you know, here's how I'll respond. We made a decision 2 years ago to change the franchise around, made the playoffs a bunch of years, not good enough. Okay. We're in no man's land like a lot of teams get. So we changed course. Okay. I'm confident that we'll do it again because we've done it before. In fact, I can make the argument that since 2003, when I got the job, the team had been terrible for 5 years. We turned around, got the playoffs within a couple of years by changing a lot of different things. We did it again when we got lucky in the draft with Derek, and we did get lucky. You know, that's part of getting a high pick in this draft, but we did it again then. So I'm very confident in how we go about our business, and I cannot worry about the fact that there are people out there who say, you know, I don't deserve this job, or I I'm not going to sit here and try to defend myself every day, because it just takes energy away from me and the organization that I don't want to take away from it. So
you did,
look, people can have their opinion, and it's whatever, but I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. You guys have already pointed out stuff today. There's a lot of things that on your in your forum, your talk radio forum, that people latch on to and take as gospel, and then use that as a way to, you know, not only criticize, but, you know, mock, name call, you know, all these things that are you know, it's wrong. But people have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us, you know, I mean, so, you know, every time I come on now, these become interrogations. They're not interviews. They're interrogations. And, you know, we come in our positions, we come on respectfully. Okay. And we get asked a lot of tough questions. I answer every tough question. I'm probably as direct and honest an executive as there is in the city. I don't sugarcoat things. I answer honestly. And then it gets kind of used in terms of an interrogation. So, you know, I'm more than willing to that, but I'm not going to answer questions of what people say about me. It just doesn't make any sense.
Okay. I hope you don't think anything has been disrespectful here. It's not been personal, and there hasn't been any name calling on our show. I don't know if you've heard that there has, but there hasn't been. You know, these are your fans are upset, and we're asking the type of questions your fans want to hear you answer.
And I've told our fans that this is going to be a process. We're rebuilding, and things are going to be hard. I've never said it would be quick. Never said it would be easy. And you know, I mean, you know, look at I'll point to the Bears. The Bears were last in their division for 4 years in a row. They drafted well, and now they're back. You know, and back in the picture. It takes time. And so if people don't have trust in that, then we'll find out in time. But I know we've done it before, and we have great confidence that we're going to do it again. And, you know, I don't know what else, I don't know how else to answer those questions or those criticisms. We're going to continue to try to do it. And it's going to take time.
Well, John, listen, I could talk to you all day. I was in the stands last night as a fan. I want this thing to go well. I will ask you this. You told David Schuster on this station on Christmas, if this rebuild doesn't go well, that people might get their wish in terms of you and Gar not
being. So I can't even joke about something, right? Like, see, so didn't I say that kind of tongue in cheek?
I didn't hear the interview. I don't know.
I heard the interview.
Didn't I say that? And you know what? Maybe it's true. But see, God, you, what you're asking me now is for like, here's what you're going to ask me. Am I going to quit if it doesn't go right? That's what you want to ask me, right?
No, actually, I was going to ask you if that was something that was told to you by Michael. Like, if you believe that this is the last
absolutely
rebuild.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Why can't I say something tongue in cheek?
You can.
But see, your first thought is that it has to be something serious. You know, did Michael ask me, or you know, is that something? That's the problem right here. But
John,
what
if you say this fans might get their wish? You acknowledge that you know that there's going to be a protest at the United Center. You know that a lot of Bulls fans aren't happy with the state of the Bulls right now. So it's a part of what's going on. And there've been a lot of rebuilds. You guys have been here for a long time. And so
there've been three rebuilds. I wouldn't even consider the first one a rebuild when we first got the job because we didn't have anything to do with that. All we did, I came in and we turned it around. So how many, there haven't been a lot of rebuilds. There was one when we got Derrick Rose. I would say that was one. And now there's this one. There have not been other ones. So, I think that's a misstatement. You know, I do. There have not been a lot of rebuilds. I get fans' frustration. I'm frustrated. We're all frustrated. I'm as passionate and loyal about the Bulls organization as anybody out there. So, you know, I mean, that's just a fact. But you know, this, as I said, this is going to take time. And we're only, a year and 8 months into a change of direction. And that's how we're going about it. I'm going to remain patient. We're going to continue to try to build this thing the right way, something that's sustainable, and we'll go from there.
John, thank you for your time. You've been generous with us today. We appreciate that.
Thank you, John.
Got it.
All right, take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai,
There's joy in every journey.